This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a winning edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan, and Stars doing it once again at home, undefeated 6-0, and joining us from the winning barn, the author of a great website, starsthoughts.com, back from Finland. He is the great Robert Tiffin, and we do this after a win. And God, you gotta love Robert Tiffin's dedication. Like, down at the AAC, wearing a suit and tie, and he still cracks a Frosty. He's got a nice.
Got to have a winner's mindset over here, Kevin. This is the big leagues. This is the NHL. You can't mess around.
Absolutely. I got a Henry's Hard Soda tonight. So just packing a variety. My friend, you know, it was an interesting game because it's one of those things where your expectations are kind of, tempered, so to speak, because of coming back from Finland, the jet lag, so to speak, have not played since Saturday. So overall, 2 points. Nice.
Yeah. Pete DeBoer said this morning after morning skate that he kind of expected this first game after another long layoff of like 4 days since their last game, and the trip coming back from Finland just kind of shaking out the last of the cobwebs. He said he kind of expected there'd be some sloppiness, and really it's just about getting a win, especially with Winnipeg looming on Saturday.
Yeah.
Just get a win, take care of business, not worrying too much about style points in this one. And I think you'd say that, you know, halfway through the game, they were getting the style points also, at least in terms of chances and kind of controlling the game. But obviously there was going to be a push at some point. DeBoer even said in the post-game presser tonight that, in today's NHL, it's really not possible to control a game for 60 minutes, no matter who the opponent is. You're going to have a push at some point. And obviously earlier in the game, Jake had some amazing saves. I think he had that one series of like 4 saves in a row and then a glove save shortly after that or something. That was, you know, got a standing ovation from the crowd after that. That was also like half of his saves for the entire game in the first 40 minutes.
Right.
That one sequence. So he was good when he had to be, but then the third period came, and in a weird way, it was exactly like the Chicago game before Finland, where the Stars controlled things and were up, but they weren't up as much as they probably should have been. And then the Blackhawks pushed back, and it was a 1-goal game for a little bit, and it was a little nerve-wracking. And then they got the empty net goal and just barely held on, and you kind of just said, okay, that's fine, let's get out of Dodge. So a weird bit of deja vu.
Yeah. Two things. If you're a Hawks fan, I would be optimistic for the future. You got some nice pieces coming in, and your team has a lot of heart, and that's coming off of back-to-back. But they have been playing teams really tough. They just haven't been able to kind of get over the hill, so to speak. Second, I mean, we're not playing sound effects. We really are live from the AAC, and Robert is in the press box as they are putting down the floor of the AAC. So it's a beautiful thing. And that's what this is all about. We're live on this podcast, and it's a beautiful thing. And they're, the ice had some time to breathe, and now it has to be a floor over it. And we shall resume other events at the AAC until next week, as the Stars go to Winnipeg and then go to Pittsburgh before returning home against the Boston Bruins next Thursday, a week from today. So a couple of highlights, Robert, just to touch on. One, Mr. Stankoven just continues the pursuit of the puck, so to speak, is relentless. And then Jamie Benn in the faceoff circle, just the stars in the faceoff circle tonight were absolutely dominant over the Hawks.
Yeah, we asked Tyler Seguin about this after the game, if he's ever seen someone go 16 for 16. He was quibbling about one faceoff at the very end that Ben might have lost to Bedard, as you would expect, you know, a longtime buddy to say, I don't know if he actually won 100%. But the game sheet, at least right now, the NHL has Ben is 16 for 16 in the faceoff circle, which, you know, even though Seguin also said, and plus he's taking them all on his strong side. So, you know, that's not even, you know, those are easier ones to win. But regardless, it's an impressive performance. And that kind of goes to show, you know, even at the very end of the game before Stankoven scored, Ben had a moment where he probably could have shot himself if he wanted to, but he chose to kind of, I don't know if he got stick checked a little bit also maybe, but it ended up going to Stankoven. And, you know, Ben does not need to be the one scoring the goals, right? In his younger days, he was happy to be that guy. The team needed a guy to be that guy. So Ben was definitely the one who was going to shoot if he had the chance. But he understands at this point in the season where the team is at, where he's at, that there's so many ways he can help the team. So to see him go 16 for 16 in the faceoff circle, and, you know, given that it was a one-goal game towards the end of the third period there, those are pretty crucial faceoffs that he's winning. So you got to give him a lot of credit for coming up big there. You know, he had a goal in Finland too in garbage time, but nonetheless, that line was clicking all night with him and Stankoven and Wyatt Johnston. And it was good to see them get rewarded, even if it was an empty netter at the end.
You know, Victory Plus did a nice job of posting a couple stats on the pregame. One is goal start here, highest percentage of total points from forwards. The Stars, the highest in the league at 84.4, followed by the Ducks at 82.5. So the forwards clearly are racking up the points compared to the defensemen. And then, likewise, you'll get this stat, fewest points from defensemen. The Stars rank 31st right now as far as points from the blue line. Robert, give me your thoughts on the blue line, because the team's playing well, but if there is, I don't want to even use an area of concern, an area of improvement, just not the point production we're kind of used to from guys like Harley and Haskinen.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's hard to get too picky. DeBoer said this morning that it's a little early to start handing out report cards. Because he could kind of see that we were sort of asking some questions that were a little bit like referendums on players so far this year. That's fair. You know, we're more than 10% of the way in the season, but also, you know, Dumba's had some injuries and things like that. Miro's played with a few different partners so far this year. I think of those players, of those people in the blue line, I think obviously Dumba is still figuring some things out. I wouldn't say he has seamless chemistry with anyone yet. I think Lyubushkin has been better than expected this year. So you got to give a lot of credit to Lyubushkin in that role. I think Lyubushkin's been very solid, but he's never going to be a point producer. Really, Miro and Thomas Harley, they are the guys that you look to saying, okay, Miro starts slow sometimes with scoring. He did last year too. Also, it's linked to the power play. Defenseman points always are linked to the power play. So, you know, it's a chicken and the egg thing a little bit with Haskinen. You know, is he not scoring because the power play's not scoring? Or is the power play not scoring because he's not making those plays? I think it's been a little bit of both. Again, that top line of especially Jason Robertson and Roope Hintz, they haven't really gotten clicking on the power play yet. So I think that's a big factor too. The one that actually has me a little bit concerned, and a lowercase c concerned, is probably Thomas Harley, though, just because there have been a few instances of him. It's hard to read. I wouldn't say being tentative necessarily. He's a very confident player. And obviously last year he had that stretch where he scored a goal in like every other game for a dozen games or so. But he hasn't looked like a player who can control the game like he did for stretches last year, especially when Haskinen was out last year. I think you need to be getting some kind of points from one of those defensemen. You can't expect to have them both scoring all year long, but they're both on the power play. And one thing the Stars have done is they've actually swapped a little bit which unit Haskinen plays with. He's now playing with the Stars' best line, essentially the Duchesne and Seguin and Marchment when he's healthy. Trio has been playing with Haskinen more recently, whereas Harley's been with Hintz and Robertson more frequently as of late. And that's a little telling to me, that that suggests that that DeBoer can see, look, if anyone's going to be, if any defenseman's going to be going, then I want to put him with the Sagan and Duchesne line. So he's putting Miro there, but still waiting for those points to come. The one really small silver lining in terms of defenseman scoring is probably Nils Lundqvist today.
Yeah.
He jumped into the rush, drew a penalty with a great rush towards the net, and then made a good enough play for Sam Steele then to get a chance. And then I think it was Sagan who finished off that whole sequence on the delayed penalty call. So maybe Lundqvist this is his time to seize the opportunity, and he's going to step in and do all the defenseman scoring. After 2 years plus, maybe this is his time. How's that?
Yeah, I will say, I like how they put him back in, because didn't play the second game of Finland, and I think that probably was a physicality move in that second game, and clearly the Stars were more physical in that second game against Florida, and then Nils Lundqvist back in the lineup. So you're right, contributed tonight, drew a penalty, got a point. So I think from that perspective, you know, it's good to see that the confidence is at least there to put him back in the lineup. So that's real good. Also wanted to point out Wyatt Johnston, because a couple of people have asked me, Robert, about Wyatt. And clearly, you know, he's going to be a focal point because he's one of the Stars' best players. So I did a little deep dive on the game logs last year. So prior to tonight, we had 11 games played. This year, 6 points, 1 goal, 5 assists. And you're like, what's wrong with Wyatt Johnston? Well, we have to remember, and Robert, you clearly know this, is that the Wyatt Johnston of last year's great season really did not erupt till January 1st. And last year, after 11 games, the same point, he had only 8 points, 4 goals, 4 assists. So he had more goals, but only 2 more points on the year. So it's not like year to year, this has been a drastic change for Wyatt Johnston.
No, it really hasn't been. And again, it's DeBoer, when we asked him about this, it might've even been me. I honestly can't remember, but the other day this week, one of us asked him about Johnston, just in terms of kind of a, what are you seeing? What are the conversations? I think what I said was, what are the conversations like with you all and him right now? Because obviously it's not like his game has completely left him. He's doing a lot of things well, but also the scoring hasn't quite been there, and he hasn't been quite the dominant force in games that he was for so much of the last 2 years. So especially last year. So what needs to change, or does anything, and how do you help a player like that maintain confidence when the points aren't coming? And he acknowledged, yeah, that's the conversations are about just continuing to do the smaller things right. And Johnston is also a player who, you know, a lot of things have changed, right? He's living by himself now. Everyone knows that. And he's playing kind of on different lines. The plan originally at the start of the year was also for him to play with, I really believe, and they've more or less said this, the coaching staff, the plan was for him to start in the right wing up there with Hintz and Robertson. That line in a few games had amazing chemistry last year, but everything kind of got thrown off for two reasons. Number one, Johnston missed some time, actually, with an injury, and then was ready just in time for the start of the year, if I recall correctly. He was ready for game one, but he missed some time in camp. So that's, I guess, one of three things. Number two, Maverick Bourque missed the end of the preseason and the start of the regular season. And the plan was for Maverick Bourque, actually, to center a line with Jamie Benn and Logan Stankoven, since Bourque and Stankoven had such great chemistry in the AHL with Texas last year. So when Bourque got injured, now you need a center for that line with Benn and Stankoven. And the third thing that's contributed to, I think, Johnston's slow start, possibly, is Jason Robertson, who also had a cyst removed, and he also missed the preseason. And all of these things, I think, are reasonable things to point to when asking about anyone's slow start, whether it's the power play or Johnston's or Robertson's or whoever's. They haven't really had everyone healthy in the roles that they kind of wanted at the start of the year. So while, you know, no excuses, Jim Nill is really big on that. He even said it when I talked to him in Finland, that, you know, no excuses, whether it's because of travel or a hangover from a fun trip or seeing friends or Finnish beer or whatever it is. We're a team of no excuses. So I'm sure they would say the same thing, but also, you know, Pete DeBoer is going to acknowledge the reality that people have, you know, Logan Stankoven moved up to the top line. Wyatt Johnston came down and was playing with Jamie Benn on the third line. They've had to do things, and Dodonna for a while on that line too. They've had to do things differently. And credit to the team, they're 8-4 now, which is, I think, any coach, if you ask them in a vacuum, would you take an 8-4 start? They'd say absolutely. The Stars have technically lost a home game, but only technically, because it was one of the Finland games counts as a home game, even though obviously it was thousands and thousands of miles away from American Airlines Center.
Yeah.
So they're undefeated at American Airlines Center. So there's a lot of good, even with the kind of low-key struggles, and there are some reasons to expect that as time goes by, like you said, Wyatt Johnston will probably heat up as he gets going. And as other players feel healthier, you'd think the power play will heat up, and that'll probably solve a lot of the scoring problems for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the 6-0 start at home, that resonates with the home crowd. And when you can build that success, the fans clearly get into it. And last year with the slow first period starts, I thought there were times where, you know, the Stars really didn't give the fans really anything to cheer for and had some letdowns at home. So it is great to see that that is a home field or home ice advantage, should I say, for Dallas. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a great Swiss Army knife on this team. We don't really talk about him too much. Sam Steele with a terrific night, a goal and an assist. Upped on the line, we talk about Wyatt Johnston moving lines, and Sam Steele gets the call with the Marchment injury and comes through with a goal and an assist.
Yeah, he was huge. Sam Steele was incredible tonight. He was really, really good. DeBoer said the same thing after, just kind of like, oh man, he was really good. I mean, he emphasized it. And the Jake Ottinger said about Steele after the game, you know, he's one of those players, probably won't sell a lot of jerseys. But he's integral to everything they do. And Steele is that sort of player, right? He can play center or wing. He forced the Stars' hand last year, we all know. He originally was one of the healthy scratches with Craig Smith, Radek Coxa, and maybe even Dodonov, I think, at the start of the year, where they figured, oh, these kind of three or four will rotate healthy scratches. And pretty quickly, Sam Steele made himself indispensable and made that decision easy for them. And they said, no, no, we want this guy in the lineup every single night. And to his credit, you know, there wasn't really even any hesitation. I mean, it was a couple days ago at practice, or I guess it was just yesterday at practice, he was up practicing in Marchman's spot when they probably had a pretty good inkling that he wasn't going to be ready to play. And, you know, he looked seamless up there. He was continuing the cycling that they were doing down low. He was playing well on the rush. He could have had at least one more goal, if not two. I mean, he could have had a hat trick tonight. Steele really was that good. Man, those are the sorts of players, again, who making just barely over $1 million. I mean, I think it's 1.25 is my memory. How you need players like that. You need Matt Duchene's making $3 million who can keep the team afloat while the high paid guys figure it out, because they will. You know, Wyatt Johnston will figure it out. Like you mentioned, it's very unlikely that really good players are not going to figure it out. But it's really great to see a player like Sam Steele not only, you know, do his job, but be able to step up and take on a bigger role when the team needs it. You probably wouldn't expect him to be a, you know, a 60, 70 point player over the course of a year. But I wouldn't bet against him looking like that in a stretch of 5 or 10 games either. He could have looked really good tonight.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Well, I mean, if you're the Carolina Hurricanes, Robert, you have a plus 22 goal differential, and you're saying, okay, boy, do I look good in this league. And all of a sudden, the Winnipeg Jets say, hold my beer, Carolina, a plus 33 goal differential, 13-1, the Stars' next opponent. Whoo, wow. That is absolutely amazing. 26 points on the year, 7-1 at home, 6-0 on the road. A win tonight against the Colorado Avalanche, 1-0. I mean, Robert, man, my Utah pick was looking decent, and they're still hanging around, still hanging. That was the prediction.
Right in the bubble. Right in the bubble. Yep.
Right in that bubble. That was the prediction. Lost two defensemen, but right on the bubble. I did not have Winnipeg. I did not have Winnipeg this year. Kudos to the Jets.
They just look like a wagon right now. If you think about that, with their goal differential of, what'd you say, 33, I think? If they played 14 games, that means they're winning by more than two goals every single night, including, you know, a loss that they have, the one loss Toronto, I believe it was. That's just ridiculous in today's NHL. I mean, you saw tonight against a team like Chicago that barely has any centers on the roster. In their best player, Connor Bedard, got so frustrated he took an unsportsmanlike penalty for kicking a stick away because he just wasn't thinking. This is a play, you know, that in the Stars still, they need an empty net goal to clinch this one. They were that close. Jake Oettinger had to make some crucial saves. Tyler Bertuzzi almost scored a second goal to tie things up, and Oettinger came up just big enough. So it's not like Winnipeg is just doing that and clipping teams every night. They're dominating teams every night in pretty much every way. That third line of theirs has been incredible. They've been deep and good against just about every team. So Pete and everyone said it tonight when we were talking about it with them. It's a good test. Those are the games you look for on the schedule. The one thing that, you know, is probably in the back of their minds, or maybe it's in the back of fans' minds at least, is that the Stars just had a really big test. Two of them, in fact, against a really good team in Florida. And they came out in that first period against Florida in last Friday, and they kind of flopped. So they had a better showing in the second game, but neither of those games really had the Stars looking like a cup favorite. They looked like someone who can battle and hang in there with a really good team, but that's not what this team needs to be right now. That's not what this team is supposed to be. And frankly, with the talent on this roster, that's not what this team should be. This team should be able to hang with Florida, this team, and even push Florida a little bit more. And this team should be able to hang with and push Winnipeg. So, it'll be a really good test for them. But what happens if it doesn't go well? That's a whole nother question, because now you've had three big tests, two against Florida, two against Winnipeg. And if it doesn't go well on Saturday, you could see the coaches starting to have to ask some tough questions about, okay, how much of this is just our schedule so far, where they had a fairly easy schedule until Florida to start the year. And, you know, you can only play the games you have. Credit to the Stars for doing as well as they've done. But, you know, the schedule's going to get tougher. And those tests are going to come more fast and more furious than they have so far. So this game on Saturday isn't just one test against one team. I think it kind of is going to be they'll either draw a lot of confidence from it, or I could see them having to reevaluate some things if it doesn't go so well.
Right. Winnipeg, according to producer Gregory Finley, becomes the second team in NHL history to begin a season with at least 13 wins through the first 14 games of a season. Will we see a Four Nations Cup preview as far as American goaltenders? I'm guessing it would be Oettinger versus Hellebuck, but we were talking before you popped on, Robert, that this is an interesting schedule situation because you have Pittsburgh on Monday and then you're not in action till Thursday. So my guess that we were talking about was Oettinger on Saturday based on the game tonight, played really well. You obviously want to play him in big games, maybe sit him and give DeSmith against his old team in Pittsburgh on Monday and then throw Oettinger back. That's a pretty long layoff for your starting goaltender.
Yeah, I think that makes sense though. You know, he had a long layoff. He played last Friday. Now he played Thursday. So he just had a kind of 6 days between games. Yeah. And he looked great tonight. To Oettinger's credit, he looked great when he had to be tonight. He really, really did. Yeah. He probably should have had a shootout if the Stars had been able to kill a penalty there at the end. Or a shutout, I'm sorry. If the Stars had been able to kill that penalty.
Right.
And frankly, if the Stars had scored more goals, which they also should have. And Sagan and DeBoer both said that after the game, that they probably should have had a bigger cushion to begin with. I think that makes the most sense. You know, Oettinger just had a rough one. And again, his team didn't help him out, like DeBoer said tonight. It's not like the Stars as a whole were good and Oettinger was terrible. I really don't fault him for too many of those goals that Florida scored in game one. It's just one of those nights where he wasn't at his absolute best and neither were the Stars, and that combination made for a loss where they gave up six goals. So no one feels good about that. So yes, Winnipeg will be a chance for him to kind of get some of that mojo back against a good team. But again, it also cuts both ways. If things don't go so well against Winnipeg and they keep rolling, now two of the last three games Oettinger's had the two good teams, you know, hasn't gone well. So again, you can't outthink things too much. I think it makes too much sense to, after as well as he played tonight, to throw him back in against a good team. It makes too much sense to play DeSmith against his old club in Pittsburgh too. I they surprised us before by playing DeSmith against Boston. So no one guaranteed anything tonight. We'll ask again after practice tomorrow about the goaltending plan, and we may or may not get confirmation about anything. But I feel about 75% confident that it'll work out that way with Jake against Winnipeg KC against Pittsburgh, but only 75% because whatever magic Jeff Reis works up when he decides on the goaltending rotation, he has the respect of the rest of his fellow coaches. So we'll see what they do.
I think they were talking about it on Victory Plus, so I want to give them credit, but I agree with this sentiment that no matter how good your goalie has been throughout the year, similar to a starting pitcher, you're going to have goalies 5 or 6 not so quality starts throughout the year. It's going to happen. Now, if you're having an elite year, it might be 2 or 3, but it's going to happen. You're going to let in goals. And so that's actually been what's so good about Jake Ottinger's career is his bounce back games has been tremendous. The good news is that we're not all talking about Jake Ottinger and his contract. What we're talking about is we have a great goaltender and he has looked really, really good. And as Pete DeBoer pointed out in the press conference that you were at, Robert, is like Jake's been good all year and we didn't really help him last Friday. So, you know, that I thought that was really cool of coach to say that. But you know, I mean, it's a delight to watch him in net. And sometimes when he's playing well, once again, similar to Sam Steele, we forget about mentioning, you're right, he made some massive saves tonight that could have certainly changed the game if those went in. Let's take a couple of Twitter questions before we let Robert go. Christopher DeHardy says that's the bounce back the Stars needed. Here's hoping that they keep this up on Saturday so that Winnipeg becomes Lose-a-peg. Yes, that was bad.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I know.
Classic. Love it.
Classic, classic. You know, I do appreciate the Winnipeg Saturday afternoon tilts. Like, it seems like every time the Stars go up there, it's on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, I'm pretty sure they roll up the sidewalks after sunset in Winnipeg. So, I mean, they have to, right? Otherwise, people wouldn't be able to go.
All right. Adam Big Hefo says Lundqvist looked great for sure and directly contributed to that second goal. Man, I love the Nils Lundqvist love that some of our Spits and Suds listeners are paying attention to. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. What another thing on Lundqvist, I think I actually don't think that him getting scratched was as big a deal against Florida as, you know, I think everyone has PTSD a little bit from the big, you sure. know, runs of healthy scratches. But right before that scratch, he like, honestly, DeBoer had said he's had a good run of play and we've been pretty happy with him. He just, you know, there's more offense there probably that we'd like to see, but he's not playing on the power play because Harley and Heiskanen are ahead of him. And I think rightly those two players have earned that power play time over Lundqvist. I think the reality, I was talking to another writer up here, Sam Nessler, about this morning after practice or morning skate. The reality is just that when Harley and Heiskanen get paired together, you have three ridings or three right-handed defensemen and only two pairings to put them on. So they really don't want to put any of the righties on their offside, right? You don't want to put Labushka on his offside. You want to put a recovering Dumba on his right side. And Lundqvist hasn't really played his offside. So it's kind of a factor of, well, you have these other two righties that were free agent veterans who just signed these big contracts to come to Dallas, relatively big, I should say, but multi-year deals to come to Dallas. And then you have Lundqvist, who was not, you know, who's not qualified and then brought back on a one-year deal for a lot less than those two. And contracts, as Sean always says, right, contracts do have an effect on when you get played, just like draft position has an effect on when you get promoted and things like this. It's just the reality of the NHL. So the reality was that when the defense wasn't looking great, and frankly, the other reality is that Dumba wasn't looking great. So they moved him, DeBoer moved him down to the third pairing. I kind of think that was actually a big part of it. It was partly to get Heiskanen going, putting Harley up there with him, but it was also because Dumba didn't look very good against the Panthers on that top pairing. So he wanted to move Dumba down to be paired with Smith. So if you're going to move Dumba off that top pairing, someone's got to be the odd man out. And also they said they wanted to get, you know, at least back in Smith into a game if they possibly could, you know, fly all the way to Finland. It's a cool experience. It'd be a bummer to sit out completely. And, you know, DeBoer's a coach who understands the importance of little things like that. So I think Smith was always going to get into that second game regardless. And especially when they decided to move Dumba off the top pairing for that game, I think it really wasn't a choice of who had to come out at that point. So it's unfortunate for Lundqvist, but them throwing him right back in this game tells me it really wasn't about anything he was doing wrong necessarily. It's just where he is in the pecking order. And that's just the cold reality this year. And in a weird way, that might actually be a good thing, because now the trade is, you know, 3 years old. That's in the rearview mirror. It really can just be about him doing the things that he can do well, shoring up his defensive game, which I think he's done to his great credit. And he's not going to play 82 games this year, but he has a good attitude. He's always one of the first ones on the ice at practice and morning skate. He's always happy to stay late and work with people. I mean, he's always out there working on tip drills with Tyler first thing on morning skate. He'll go out there, shoot those pucks. He's just that he's doing all the right things, saying all the right things, and bringing the right attitude every day.
That's great.
I think in a weird way, the scratches, even if he gets scratched as much during this regular season as he did last year, in a weird way, I almost think the situation means it won't be as detrimental, because it's not like he's getting scratched for some AHL call up. He's getting scratched for a veteran of like 600 games in Brendan Smith. That's a different equation. And like you said, Smith brings something different than him also. So there's justifiable reasons. And I think he's taking it that way. He's not taking it as, oh, I failed, I have to earn the trust back and try extra hard. He's taking it as just a, nope, this is where I'm at and I'm okay with this role. So credit to him for that.
Right. I like to call these spits and suds tidbits, the little things in the game that make a difference that you'll have to go deep into the score sheet to try to find. This one probably wouldn't even be on the score sheet. So we talked about the Jamie Benn face-off wins and the face-off wins overall. Stars were up 1-0. Massive play in this game. Connor Bedard is released by Chicago. He's got a breakaway. Esa Lindell stride for stride and then lifts the stick at the last second, preventing a shot. Massive when Connor Bedard with his shot going in on a Jake Oettinger, not even getting a shot off based on the great stick lift by Esa Lindell.
Esa Lindell is one of my favorite players to watch, not because he's necessarily the most entertaining or dynamic, but because I think he's always been a little bit more, he refuses to be reduced to just one type of player. He's got some offense in his game. You know, he came up with a lot of offense in his game, but you don't always see that, especially when he's not in the power play. He can be a stay-at-home defenseman, especially on the penalty kill, and especially under, you know, Rick Bonus and even under Ken Hitchcock a little bit. He can play that role also, but he can also play with Nils Lundqvist and play up the ice. He can also, I mean, the goal he scored against Florida in that first game, he scored it like 2 feet away from the net. He can join the rush and do those things too. DeBoer even said, I think, after that game, yeah, I'd like to see him do that a little bit more often. He's not only, you know, of course, we're always biased against people that are enjoyable to talk to and just genuinely good people, like I would say Esa is from my interactions with him, at least over the years. But he's also a sort of player, just in a hockey sense, who can do a lot more than anyone, whatever type of player they try to categorize him as. He's always able to do a little bit more than that. And that back check tonight was an example of how he's not slow. Just because he's not Miro Heiskanen or even John Klingberg doesn't mean he's not a good skater. He's a good skater in the way that he needs to be for the player he is. And that back check, you know, it's not always about speed. I mean, Joe Pavelski is the greatest example of that, right? If you understand the play and the angle and the route and where you need to be and where your stick needs to be and when you know you'll be able to get that stick lift in and you time it all correctly, as Lindell did, that all that knowledge and all that execution matters way more than whether or not your straight line speed or your edge work or whatever is 5% better than the next guy. And it's just really fun to watch, especially a veteran like Lindell make plays like that so effortlessly, even after, you know, the better part of a decade in the organization. He still continues to surprise people who forget how how complicated in a good way of a player he is.
Yeah, Colin Blanchard adds, really happy to see Stankoven get rewarded with 2 points. I think we all are. The water bug just continues to keep going. Also thought Lundqvist had a solid night. Just wish the power play could start clicking and just throwing pucks on net. Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm interested to see. It's to the point, Robert, where I don't know. I'm going to change up some of the players at some point just to see if you can, you know, make it simpler. So
okay, okay. Yes, this is like all you can do as a coach. Basically, you either totally change the scheme, which is really hard to do in the middle of a year. You can tweak the scheme a little bit, right? Like, okay, well, this guy that's been here, this guy goes a little bit further down the wall, or when this guy goes here, this other guy goes this way, and you look for this extra pass or something. But trying to change the entire power play when you don't have, you know, the preseason to work on it, they don't even have an All-Star break this year. They have the Four Nations, and half the guy, all the good players are going to be gone. So, you can't really just redesign the whole thing. I mean, you can, but it's hard to do, especially at the sort of pace that you have. And then there's always some rockiness when you try to implement it in games. So when you talk about changing the personnel, you have 8 of your forwards and your 2 best defensemen on the power play. So I don't think you change out the defensemen. I guess you could try doing like we'll put Esa Lindell up there just to like shoot from the point and not think about it. But Thomas Harley had 6 shots tonight, and a couple of those were on the power play. And that wasn't helping. So I don't think they were necessarily bad shots or anything, but I'm just saying that that's not in itself always going to be the solution. So what other forwards, you know, of course, if Marchment was healthy, he'd be back in instead of Dodonov. But even without that, what other, you know, forward, are you going to put Oscar Beck on the penalty, on the power play? Are you going to put Maverick Bourque or Colin Blackwell? Maybe Colin Blackwell there, but who do you put? I mean, he's a fun player to watch, or Sam Steele for that matter tonight. You might think about putting Sam Steele there, but who are you replacing? Are you taking Jason Robertson off the power play? That's not going to get going. Are you taking Jamie Benn off the power play? I mean, it's every time I ask this question, you can't really. It's really hard to say who you would take off. Maybe right now you'd say take off Dodonov, but Dodonov just scored a power play goal against Florida.
Right.
He's the most recent star to score a power play goal. So sorry, I'm ranting a little bit, but it's just because I agree that that's the first thing you should look at is, okay, maybe change the personnel to spark something. But at this point, I think, and they tried even earlier in the season, they swapped like 2 and 2 of the guys from one of the units to the other. But right now I think that Duchesne Sagan unit's going so well, why would you split that up? And the other, you know, Hintz, Robertson, Jamie Benn. I mean, these are, you know, Stankoven, Wyatt Johnston. It's, you know, you kind of just have to hope they get going. I think that's where I'm at least. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. The wild card, and it would just be for the reason of his hustle, would be Blackwell. That would just be it. But you're right. Skill set wise, he's not on that list as far as power play ability. So I think that's a great rant by you, actually. I think it's just people are frustrated, and I think we're all frustrated at times. Finally, Aaron Thacker, I had a thought that I was wanting to get your opinion about. Feels like a couple of the Stars players are pressing because they really want to get the goal. Just wondering if that has contributed to some of the slow starts. I think sure, the sticks are tight because the offense at times isn't clicking. So, you know, that would be the case. But we have to understand, I mean, Wyatt Johnston would have tied the game against Florida and Finland. He had an amazing high tip that just went off the post. Yep. So, you know, sometimes the puck's just not going in the net, but they are getting the 2 points, and that's what matters. But wanted to promote you, Robert. You did an amazing job in Finland. So kudos, my friend. Your website, starsthoughts.com. You're a terrific follow on Twitter /X with your pictures and everything. How was the trip?
It was great. It was great. It all came together kind of in just a few weeks before the actual trip. Trying to book everything just a few weeks before flying over there was kind of a scramble, but I couldn't be happier that it worked out. Actually, I have a piece coming out in D Magazine, I think, tomorrow. That's gonna speak to that a little bit more. But anyone who's been reading the site has certainly been hearing more than they ever could have wanted to know about Finland over the last week or so. A couple of the highlights, really quickly, were probably getting to meet some old Stars veteran players like Jussi Jokinen and Niko Kapanen. That was really cool. Getting to run into them and catch up. Jokinen is doing some analyst work for Finnish television now, which is, so it was kind of fun to talk to him a little bit about the media side of things. He's a great guy. Of course, Jari Lehtinen was just around all the time as the kind of godfather of Finnish hockey is. Yeah. And then getting to see, you know, players like Yari Curry got the Borja Salming Award for courage. And Issa Tikkanen was there as well. Just, of course, always in good spirits. And then we're at an event of all these, you know, Finnish NHL alumni, dozens and dozens of them in this room in the Tampere City Hall. And then the president of Finland just shows up and walks into the room. And then they just, the mayor just walks over. Oh, by the way, the president's here. And the president came over and said something else about Yari Curry and, you know, praised him for his courage and stuff. And that's, I mean, that was a big example, right? You don't expect a head of state to show up in the same room you're in just on the spur of the moment. But there were lots of little things like that where someone would be walking by or you'd have a conversation or it was just kind of a very jam-packed experience of lots of really cool things, both in a vacation sense of getting to do and see really cool sights and meet lots of really cool people and have really crazy experiences. Jumping in the frigid Baltic Sea in the Gulf of Finland was pretty outstanding and something I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. And enjoying a sauna experience with some of the Florida Panthers TV analysts and TV broadcasters was a lot of fun too. Just talking hockey with a lot of lifers and even NHL employees too. Just getting to sit around and kind of shoot the breeze with them and hear from them. I mean, there's so many good stories. Anyone who's worked in hockey for a while is going to have some great stories. And I felt like every which way I turned, whether it was, you know, talking to Brad Alberts for a minute about, you know, potentially, you know, a Mexico game down the line or Jim Nill or UC Jokinen or Teppo Numminen, you know, any of these people are just around at any given time. And it's such an embarrassment of riches from a storytelling point of view. I still feel like, you know, I had so many things in my arms I was walking out of Finland with that I want to remember, and they're just spilling out every day because there's just too much of it. But hopefully what's been written is at least, you know, more than anyone could want or would want. So hopefully that'll be more than enough for anyone's appetite. But it was a pretty special trip, and I definitely say to anyone, don't wait for another big NHL game to visit Finland if it's something that seemed intriguing to you. During the summer, it's like 60, 70 degrees in the summer, especially Helsinki on the coast there. It's gorgeous. You should absolutely go. It's beautiful, very hospitable. Nice. You'd have a blast. So I'd recommend it to any hockey fan as a great vacation destination on its own, regardless of whether or not there's a big NHL game there.
You mentioned the president of Finland. Did the former prime minister of Finland, let me get her name, Sanna Marin, did not see her, Robert?
Is that the one who looked like Conan O'Brien?
No.
Okay.
No.
I just remember back in the day, there was a thing where Conan looked a little bit like someone who was running for prime minister.
No, after this, just do a quick Google search of the prime minister of Finland, former, just a beautiful woman.
Yeah. I've learned a lot about Finnish politics in the last week, but I'm still catching up on my former prime minister. So you'll have to cut me some slack on that.
So did you go DFW and then connect on the east coast of Finland, or was there
direct? DFW has a direct flight to Helsinki, actually. So
really?
DFW to Helsinki direct. It's about going there. It was under 11 hours. I think it was like a little over 10 hours. Direct.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a direct flight on it's Finnair, but it's operated by American Airlines, if you want the gory details. On the way back, I did have to connect through LAX just because there are a lot of Stars fans coming back. And so that flight had already booked up coming back. But there's a direct flight, actually. So you could totally do that. I know some people that went through Europe and stuff, too. But there's a direct flight through Finnair. And that was delightful. It's operated by a Finnish airline. So you get the Finland experience before you even get there.
Oh.
You could be drinking a Finnish beer halfway through your flight, you know, over Greenland before you even get to Greenland, if you want to do that. So.
That is awesome. One of the other things before I let you go that you're doing on Stars Thought is you're doing these Wednesday flashbacks, and mentioning players like Toby Peterson is just bringing a smile to my face. Mm-hmm. And your Wednesday flashback this week was Fabian Brunstrom. And one of the best individual performances I've seen at the AAC was his first game. So it was tremendous. So I wanted to thank you for the memories, because that is so – when I see Toby Peterson, and if I could only just make one – What about Chris Connor? Can we bring Chris Connor back?
Yeah. Hey, Chris Connor. I still picture Chris Connor as kind of like a discount version of Logan Stankoven, you know, getting a lot out of not the tallest frame, but he also had a bit of a motor going. He actually carved out a decent little career for himself in the NHL.
He did.
Went to Pittsburgh for a little while, if I'm remembering correctly.
He did. Yes. Chris
Connor and Toby Peterson, I think, had come from Pittsburgh, actually. So everything's about Pittsburgh. Toby Peterson also is a cool story. I think he lives with diabetes, so he would have like a little thing on his hip. I'm forgetting.
Oh, sure.
Like an insulin regulator or something. Not diabetic, but some of my friends are. I'll have to ask them since I'm obviously butchering the proper terminology here. But I remember reading a couple of really good stories about how Peterson, you know, would talk to other young hockey players with diabetes and talk about how living with it, how it wasn't, you know, it wasn't holding him back at all. And it's really cool. And he's also a player. I would say Toby Peterson had a little bit of a Colin Blackwell about him too, where he also was really good. Always, you never felt like he took a shift off. Played a long time in the minors. And when he got a chance to be in the NHL, I felt like he left it all out there. So credit to Toby Peterson. He was a fantastic player to watch. And credit to Fabian Brunstrom. One of the reasons I wanted to write about that is because, well, in reflecting on all the kind of older Stars games and stuff, that era from the kind of 2008 to 2013, kind of before the rebrand and everything, but after, you know, that 5-year playoffless streak, I think a lot of times there are stories in those eras that just go, we just tend to forget them, or people just aren't paying attention because it's not fun to follow a team that you know loses year after year or doesn't make the playoffs year after year.
Yeah.
And so that was a player who I think, you know, he was never going to meet that same standard after you score a hat trick in your debut, unless you're Austin Matthews scoring 4 goals in your debut. It's hard to live up to that billing. But I just think that's that already is a cool story. And it's a shame that people immediately go from that to saying, oh yeah, but he was a bust, when really he was found money to begin with. The fact that the Stars got him and signed him, it's not like he was scoring 90 points over in Sweden. He was scoring like half a point per game or whatever. And so the Stars got him, and he scored almost, you know, what I think like 30 points or something in his first season. It was great. Yeah. That's great. That's found money. They didn't cost a draft pick. It didn't cost a trade asset at all. So that's the sort of trade that, you know, an acquisition that a good GM is looking to do. So credit to, at the time, Doug Armstrong and Brett Hull Les Jackson and Brett Hull. For bringing a player like that in. It was cool for a hot minute to feel like, ooh, the Stars are starting to be a destination, even though it would actually take the, you know, the better part of a decade and the arrival of Jim Nill for them to really become the hot free agent
destination. Right. Well, I love it. Another name that sometimes we don't talk about that much, but Stu Barnes was like massive during those. And like, I just remember the Stu chant. And he was just really, really popular. So those are fun throwbacks, and that's the kind of fun you get at starsthoughts.com. You got your tires pumped pretty darn good by Sean Shapiro the other day, and says you are the best Dallas Stars daily follow. So
wow.
Congratulations on that. That's
man, I guess that Venmo finally went through to him. That's good. Good to know.
Absolutely. You're awesome. Thank you so much for contributing to Spits and Suds. We appreciate you as always. It's starsthoughts.com at Robert Tiffin. And if the article comes out tomorrow, D Magazine, I'll be sure to retweet it. Follow Robert now. And once he tweets it, just hit retweet. Let's spread the word. To give the great Robert Tiffin his due. My friend, thanks for sticking around the AAC. We will catch up with you soon.
You bet. Thanks, Gavin. Always appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for another post-pod edition of Spits and Suds. And we'll be back with another episode soon. Thank you so much for listening and supporting us. Have a great day, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.